I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, we have a couple of things we want to mention before we play this episode of GTR. This has been a crazy, crazy week for Gamertag Radio, but we also need your support because of this. So we have two things that have been already now out for a couple of days. The first one is Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. This was released on our 13th anniversary of Gamertag Radio. It's a documentary about us, how we started, our personal lives, a lot of behind-the-scenes stories, and it's totally, totally free. All you have to do is go to twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio. You can find it there. Or go to YouTube and search for Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. It's totally free. Watch it, and please share with your friends. And another project we just released a couple days ago, we would love for you to check it out, is called Hope County Stories. We partner up with Ubisoft to create this podcast series. And let me tell you, it is insane. All I have to say is stay tuned because there's a bunch of crazy stuff that's going to happen on a podcast series. So yeah, just make sure to check it out. And it's cool. It's we interview the characters and everything live from Hope County. So yeah, check it out. It's called Hope County Stories. And you don't need to subscribe to another feed. That is going to be available here exclusively only on Gamertag Radio. All you have to do is subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to the weekly episodes every Wednesday. All right, and now let's go back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 740. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Pete in the house.
Yo,
Pete, what's up, man?
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, dude?
Good, good. We just released the Hope County Stories podcast series. Mm-hmm. It just came out a couple of days ago. Very exciting. Very excited about that. Cool little project.
Hyped.
Can't wait for the other episodes to come out. Every Wednesday, check it out. Only here on Gamertag Radio. What are you going
to
say?
No, Pete? I'm glad that it's finally out. I'm glad to see and hear all of the reactions from everybody else, whether it be people on our social, people in our Discord community. I'm just glad to see the reactions and the positive responses from everybody that's basically been a surprise because this is so outside of the norm for us as a group. And I'm glad that as the dinosaurs of this medium, we're able to still come up with fresh, new, and exciting ways to entertain our audience, both young and old. So it was a lot of fun. Shout out to the good folks at Ubisoft for working with us, seeing the vision that we all had, working with us and allowing us to have access to the voice actors. Shout out to Martin Roach, aka Pastor Jerome Jeffries, from Far Cry 5.
And that's
5.
It. That's it. And that's it. Don't mention anything else. It's gonna be a surprise.
I wasn't going to. Oh, thanks okay. For chopping me up, though. Appreciate it.
Just in case. But yeah, Pete. So this episode, we have a couple cool things. We have hands-on impressions, mm-hmm, of Far Cry 5.
Yep.
And also, we have a couple interviews that we're going to play later on the show. So first thing first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Or you can find us on different places. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to spread the word about us. And we have a couple surprises later, man. So make sure to tune in only here on Gamertag Radio. So, Pete, let's talk about Far Cry 5, man. We had some hands-on. not only single player, but also co-op. So let's start with the single player of the game. How was your experience in Hope County?
It was great seeing, like, finally getting into the game from the ground up. Every time that you and I or Paris have had a chance to put our hands on Far Cry, it's been somewhere further on in the game where you've already established your foothold as part of the resistance, where you've got, you know, you've got the good guns, you've got, you know, you have your partners already established, you've got Boomer and you've got Grace and all the other characters that are already part of your group that you can call up to go on runs with you. But this was from the beginning, right? So we finally got to see the beginning of the game, how it starts, how it brings you into the entire, you know, going inside Eden's Gate, going into Hope County and figuring out from the get, like, where the whole story starts. And that drew me in. I don't think there's been a Far Cry since 3 where it pulled you in like that. Like, 4 was cool because of the whole, you know, Pagan Min knows your mom and, you know, that's, you know, he's supposed to introduce you to, you know, or bring you to where you're supposed to get her ashes so that you can, you know, you can follow the ritual and allow her soul to go off to heaven and stuff like that. But this one was so guttural and it felt almost realistic. I knew I was in a video game situation and, you know, I knew my life wasn't physically in danger. But the level of tension you experience going into this game is unlike a lot of others from recent memory. Like, this is, and especially with today's political climate, it's and I know I said clenching, which apparently has gotten a couple of giggles on Twitter. Shout out to those of you that like that. Those of you with 10-year-old mentalities like me. But yeah, it's almost concerning that, like, they were almost able to pinpoint where the United States would be, from a video game perspective and that whole analogy to how the United States is currently. But yeah, I was drawn in and, like, time flew. Like, they were like, yeah, we want you to have like 4 hours of gameplay, blah. And, like,
it felt short,
but it was like, okay, we're ready for the next session. I'm like, no, I want to keep playing at my pace.
Yeah.
Without trying to give out too much stuff, I could, and it's hard to try to, you know, separate this from every other game that, you know, we get an opportunity to play early, but this has that potential. This has that long standing and the story writing is just, it's spot on. It's so good. Like, it gets you invested.
Top notch.
It gets you so invested in the characters that you play, the people you meet, the citizens of Hope County. You want to help them because, you know, the way that Joseph Seed and the rest of the project at Eden's Gate just scares people with the way they've essentially taken over Hope County. So yeah, it's so good. I can't wait to play more.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can't wait to
play. It's really good. And the thing is, too, P, it's the, when I'm driving around or when I'm walking around the area, I'm always watching my back because not only you have to worry about the people that are there, but you also have to worry about animals. Cause there's bears. I think there was like a wolf, I think, from far away. I think it was trying to attack one of our companions and stuff. So, the game is so good. And I think the thing that shines the most out of everything in this game is the story. The story is so good, man. So, so good. But it just, like you were saying, it feels so real, right? Like the environment, the story, the radio, people driving, saying things or trying to attack you if they see you. It's good.
Well,
one of
the key things that I liked the way they did this was in most every other game. I can't think of another game that does it the way Far Cry 5 is doing it. Mm-hmm. When, like, you have to go on a fetch mission for intel or information, you go to a place and there's a person statically mapped to that place that you have to find, that is just sitting there waiting in eternity until you meet them so that they can talk to you and give you the information you need. That's not how Far Cry 5 is done. Like you literally have it. Not one person has all the information you need. It forces you to go around and interact with everybody. And it's basically like a giant create your own adventure game set in, mm-hmm. in Montana. And it's a different mind state, and it's a different way of going into a game and getting immersed into everything around you. Like, and like you said, like the wildlife in and of itself is just, it's insane. Like if you have a chance, there's going to be a video put out by Danny that has some co-op environments. And at one point, you know, you hear me, Danny, look out. And there's a bear just
a bear attacking,
rumbling down the side of a hill coming towards him. And it's like only in Far Cry do you have something like that, where you not only have to worry about the bad, you know, the protagonist of the game, and in this case, it's the project at Eden's Gate, but then you got to worry about badgers and wolves and foxes and wolverines and bears.
It's similar to Primal and other Far Cry games. It's similar, but I feel like this one, I don't know what it is. It outshines the other ones, man, when it comes to that, you know. And you know, I think this game, it's gonna create a huge, huge buzz once it comes out, because so far I've been having a great time playing this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we only had like a couple hours to play, but it felt short because I was having so much fun. But then we had to try out something else, and then something else after that. I was like,
leave me alone.
I wanted to stay a little bit longer. Yeah. but look, there's a bunch of people that could also join you and help you. I don't know if you got a chance to try out Boomer. I know we did months, like sometime last year, we had him. Also, we had Grace, Nick Rye. But there was also one that we were trying to find, Cheeseburger, yes. The bear.
You got a chance
to find him or no?
I succeeded. I got Cheeseburger.
Really? But single player? Single player.
Yeah, during the single player. Okay. Like as soon as you know, we got a chance to get started, and you know, Dan Hay, the creative director, was he made mention of it, that if you can try and find Cheeseburger, you can have him added to your group. Similar to the way that Boomer can be added as your I forgot the term they have for the animals that are your friends.
But for those that don't know about Cheeseburger, who is Cheeseburger? Okay.
Cheeseburger is a trained bear. He's a grizzly bear. Obviously, his name is Cheeseburger because he has grown an affinity for cheeseburgers, but as a result, he has diabetes. He's got the beatus. And okay. So he can only eat fish now. So his preferred method of food is salmon. So, you know, not only do you have to go to where Cheeseburger's located, which is the animal, it's kind of like a circus in the middle of the wilderness where you can go and see him perform. But you have to, you know, you have to then free him. And the way to do it is you have to give him salmon. How do you get salmon? You have to go and do what my favorite activity is in Far Cry 5, the fishing.
Fishing. Okay.
So yeah. So once you go to the compound, then you have to go, and go fishing to get the food with which to give to Cheeseburger. And that whole thing, like going through all of that, those missions, those individual missions, culminates in you finally getting Cheeseburger as your, I think it's your animal for hire or whatever. And he's so cool, man, because he's so fat and lovable, but don't mess with Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger is legit, dude. Him. He is a threat, and you do not want Cheeseburger on your bad side. So
now my question to you, Pete, Boomer or Cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger all day.
Cheeseburger all day?
Cheeseburger all day. I don't know,
man. Boomer, because Boomer's pretty good too, man.
With Boomer, he's a dog. And like at the end of the day, I mean, I'm a dog lover. I have a dog. But he's small. Like he's a dog-sized animal, right? Mm-hmm. What puts more fear in your eyes? you turn around and you see a 12 to 20 pound dog chasing after you or a 500 pound grizzly bear chasing after you. That's all you have to say. And then when you have Cheeseburger on your side and like you just let him loose, you don't have to do anything. He is so OP. It's filthy, but it's so cool because you could just let him loose and it's just like, I'm just going to let him kill everybody. I'm just going to go around and just collect all the loots and just loot all the bodies and pick up all the ammos and weapons and then just, you know, just keep feeding him and making him happy and just protect him in case he gets out of hand or he gets out, you know, he gets surrounded or whatever. So yeah, your job at that point is just to protect him and make sure he doesn't die.
All right, but let's talk very quick about co-op. Yes. That was another session that we had too. And actually, you could watch both single player and co-op. You could go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and you could watch our video there. And co-op was a very fun experience and funny too. But one thing that I noticed, because, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, why was it I couldn't really select a quest while we were playing? And we figure out it was because Pete was the host. So usually the host is the one that is going to select the quest from the game. That's what happened to us when we were playing this. I was confused and I even watched the video because it was my point of view. And you could see me trying to talk to people and the quest wasn't going on. I'm like, yo, why is it not getting active, man? Like, and then Pete clicked it. I'm like, oh, it's because of Pete. He's the host of the game. Great. But yeah, Pete, overall, I think that was a lot of fun too, man, right? Co-op was a lot of fun. We did like a couple missions. I think two or three. Can't remember exactly. But your thoughts about it, man, because I personally think it was a lot of fun playing.
Well, absolutely. It's co-op. Co-op brings so much more to the table when you're talking about a game because you can somewhat control what happens. You control your environment and what happens when it's just you. But when you have to rely on Danny or Paris or one of your friends to be, you know, to follow what you guys want to do, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes you're like, oh, I got the shot lined up and you miss and then all hell breaks loose. Yep. It's just more fun. You know, that's what makes playing video games. That's probably for me, that's a much bigger appeal, is playing that single player experience in a co-op setting and then sharing that experience and playing with friends, because you remember that more. You create that bond with people, whether it's me and Danny or me and like friends that live out in California or you know, some of our Discord community, Oklahoma or whatever. Like hell, we've got community members in Australia, and if we could ever sync up a time zone, I would love to be able to play games with them, right? Because then you're playing, you know, you're playing with them, and you have that feel. So for me, that's always more fun because it just adds to the bedlam and mayhem. So yeah, it was really, really well done, and I'm glad that co-op has a chance to come back in 2018.
And for those that don't know, we were playing the PlayStation 4 version. Now, Pete, I know this is going to be available for PC, Xbox One, and also PlayStation 4. Which version are you getting?
I think I'm double dipping. I'm going to go Xbox and I think I'm going to do Xbox and PC.
Xbox and PC. Yeah, I think I'm going with Xbox. And, you know, if I had PS Plus on my PlayStation 4, I would have gotten the PlayStation 4 version because, you know, I want to play with a couple of friends. And honestly, when we played online, because actually we were playing online and it was smooth. It was totally smooth. There was no lag, no issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the reason I want to also check out Xbox One, I'm curious to see how it's going to look on a Xbox One X version also. And also the PlayStation 4 Pro version.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to defer to the PC side, right? I want to get that full graphical experience and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to look just fine whether you're playing on Xbox One S or Xbox One X, and conversely PlayStation 4. It's going to look fine. We've played it in multiple different iterations and not all of them I think were fully, you know, 100% vetted out. A lot of the times that you and I played it and Paris played it was in an alpha or in a beta setting, you know, beta, you know, environment. So we may not have gotten all of the graphical assets in the game, but I think we'll be, I think it's going to be fine again. And I think this is something we've been pushing for a while now. You more than I, but I'm starting to finally come around, I think. The experience outweighs the graphics. The graphics help establish the mood or the setting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, just if you've got a good game, it's a good game, right? You know, the graphics just, it's the cherry on top. It's the ice cream on your pie.
Yeah. Make sure to check it out once it comes out March 27th for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and also PC. Now, we have a couple interviews, right, Pete, for this episode. I'm going to play first the one that we recorded with Dan Hay and also Rick Ross. Not the rapper Rick Ross.
You owe me,
but he's a cult leader expert.
Yes.
Rick Ross. We had a great, great conversation. And after that, we have a surprise, Pete. Hmm? The voice actor of Joseph Seed.
Oh, yeah. We have Greg Brick. I'm afraid I pronounced his name wrong, and I'm going to find like the father. I'm going to wake up one night and I'm going to have the father standing over me with his hand on my forehead, and I'm just going to be sucked into Eden's Gate.
Hilarious.
But yeah, we got an opportunity to talk with Greg about, you know, his involvement in the Far Cry 5 project. And it's been fantastic, dude. I can't wait. And speaking of him, you know, the folks at Ubisoft also released an original short film called Inside Eden's Gate, which was inspired by the game and is going to be released this coming Monday, March 5th, on Amazon Prime. So the premise behind it is they basically have three vloggers find out rumors about the project at Eden's Gate, or Peggy, as the locals like to call it. And they go to Hope County following leads and talking to to people in the community. And they actually come face to face with Joseph Seed, and, I'd say just watch it because it's not bad. I think it's like 15 minutes, the 15 minute 15, short 20, film, 15, 20, 15, 20 yeah, minute short film.
But it's good.
It's pretty really good. And it gives you a really good idea as to the premise and the whole story around, the game. Right. So, you know, if you have a chance, if you got Amazon Prime on March 5th, check it out. It'll be released exclusively on demand on Amazon Prime.
Yep. Look at that. There's podcast series. There's a short film. There's everything.
I'm so happy that we're a part of it.
Oh, hell yeah. It's part of history, man. So, yeah, for those who are listening, make sure to check out Hope County Stories. I highly recommend it. It's every Wednesday. We're going to have a new episode on Gamertag Radio, and let us know what you guys think. We've been working on this for a while now, so make sure to tune in every Wednesday. First of all, before we go to the next the next interviews and everything, a big huge shout out to Dougie. He is also he's a playable character in MLB The Show. He just posted that. He flew a couple months ago. He flew to San Diego to be, I think they did the whole capture thing for, you know, for the game. And yeah, he's a playable character in the game, man. So shout out to Dougie, man. From Good Game Bros. Shout out to him, man. All right, so we're going to play the interview. And once we come back, we're going to wrap it up.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential. And the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter and Danny here from Gamertag Radio. We are in Hope County. It's cold, Danny. I'm not ready for this.
I'm freezing right now.
So we have two amazing guests here from the Far Cry 5 team. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Dan Hay. I'm the creative director on Far Cry 5.
Rick Ross, a cult expert and head of the Cult Education Institute.
All right. Well, first, I'm going to start off with Dan. You know, we've met a couple of times. Yep. We've gone over this. Quick synopsis. What are we doing here? What are you introducing? What are you bringing? Sure. What are you announcing?
This event was just giving you guys a chance to be able to play the opening of the game and really feel the heart-pounding effect of that first opening and going to try and take the father, and then showing you how you kind of begin to get the semblance of understanding how to build the resistance, meeting a couple of characters that help you on that, maybe your first foray into using a guns for hire, and then kind of giving you the ability to go up and explore a brand new region and go to Jacob's and maybe meet members of the Whitetail Militia that are up there fighting Jacob and attempting to take that region back and just experience a whole different flavor of the game that we haven't really shown you guys yet.
Was there anything that you guys learned once you guys started working with Rick? And Rick, how was your experience also working with a video game company too?
Well, it's fascinating. It's the first time I've ever worked on a video game project. So it was just a new territory for me. And I just found it really, really fascinating.
I think from the standpoint of what we learned, there's a lot of stuff we learned. I think if you look at it top down, and I think about it, sorry, top down and then bottom up. Top down, you start with the father. Right. How do you build a magnetic leader? How do you make them credible? How do you make it so that they have an ethos or a belief that people could meet and believe right away, I might be able to fall for that person? Because I had a hard time with that. It's, you know, we're intelligent people. We wonder, how is it that people fall for cults? Mm-hmm. And can you build a leader that has the gravitas and the magnetism to make you feel that that's possible? And Rick was you know, instrumental in helping us make sure that we were shaping that properly. Mm-hmm. And then bottom up, it's looking at the world and making sure that the little things that the cult does make sense, right? Just their own language, their own parlance, the things that they're doing moment to moment aren't just, you know, AI out in the world waiting for you to meet mm-hmm. them. They actually are going about their daily grind of what it is that they do, and they're trying to, you know, instill the will and the force of the father in the region. And those two things in concert, coupled with all the stuff in between, is what makes it feel believable.
Well, my question is for Rick. Does a character or someone like a Joseph Seed, do they target a specific type of person in order to try to gain their influence or try to gain influence over them? Or is someone like a Joseph Seed just magnetic as a personality enough to just be able to just convert, you know, convince or convert anybody on the street?
I think what you see in Joseph Seed is just a fascinating, nuanced, multi-layered character put together, you know, by Dan and his team. And I think what he is such a charismatic person. He's magnetic. He draws people to him. And I think the unsettling thing that we all are not really in touch with is all of us are vulnerable, and someone like Seed can smell it. And then he focuses in and he oozes into the cracks in people's lives. And that's what you see with Joseph Seed, this incredibly intelligent, nuanced character that really is good at what he does, which is being a cult leader.
I have one question. It's actually for Dan as well, because you had mentioned oozing, and in the game we see some things oozing out of some of these structures. Can you give me a little
So without giving too much away, I mean, there's a, you know, we learned a lot about cults, and we learned a lot about the fact that there are elements of them getting into your brain and how they do it, and then there's the magnetism of the leader, and then sometimes there's, you know, pharmacology from the standpoint of them using a drug to be able to control you. So we wanted to be able to also look at that as well. So there's, you know, we built an entire structure around that. It's not like you're walking around and you see people doing stuff and it doesn't make sense. They are actively going to fields and they're growing the stuff. They're turning it into a kind of a weapon to be able to use against people, and then they're taking it and they're transporting it and they're milling it, and then you can follow that transport, and it has sort of an entire ecosystem, and it all kind of makes sense. Now, if you're a player that doesn't care about any of that, that's totally okay. But if you decide to scratch at it, you'll understand that in one region they're making it, in another region they're using it, in another region they're experimenting with it, and that it's all connected. And then there's a whole bunch of different things that are like that in the game that have their own currency.
Rick, my question is, a lot of people have different definitions of a cult or a cult leader. What's your definition, and how can we know that a religion or a group of people is part of a cult?
Well, it's not about belief, it's about behavior. and structure. So number one, an absolute authoritarian leader that is the defining element and driving force of the group. Number two, a process of indoctrination where people are broken down through coercive persuasion and the group gains undue influence over them. And then finally, number three, you use that undue influence to take advantage of people. And that varies by degree from group to group. And what you get in Far Cry 5 is you're really right in the mix. And I have met cult leaders, but when you play the game, you actually get to meet people in a group and you get to interface with a cult leader, which I think is fascinating.
And the crazy part too is a lot of them will do anything to protect the cult leader too, so right?
Well, they will die for the cult leader. And I mean, whatever the cult leader says is right, and whatever he says is wrong is wrong. And what you have in Joseph Seed is really this incredible composite character that is really kind of a scary guy because he really believes in what he's doing. And when cult leaders really believe in what they're doing, there is no limit.
Is there a way, how can someone change from being part of a cult and get them out from a cult too? Is that going to be difficult to do that for a lot of people?
That's what I've done for many years. I've done about 500 interventions. And the key is education. First, get the person out of the bubble, out of the environment, like the compound in Far Cry 5, and get them to a place where they can hear other voices and where they can have a real genuine discussion and interchange of ideas. And then they basically think their way out.
So how much does religion play into that? Is that something that is a key factor in being able to develop a cult? Or is it just easier to use religion as that tool to be able to start developing a cult?
A cult can be based on anything. It could be based on martial arts, politics, theology, therapy, religion, sci-fi. I mean, that becomes, if you will, the outer shell or the facade of the group. Certainly religion has a great deal of currency. It's a popular theme. And Joseph Seed, he really uses religion as a lure, if you will, the bright, shiny thing to pull people in.
My last question is for you, Dan. How hard was it to work on a game like this? Because religion is very sensitive for a lot of people. How was it for you guys to not also disrespect other people that believe in certain, you know, beliefs?
For sure. I think that, you know, what we wanted to be able to do is make sure that we built our own version of Montana. And that's part of the reason why we built our own cult, right? Mm-hmm. There's no question that we did our research, and it was greatly helpful to talk to cult experts and understand what we would want to pull from, but it's ours. And I think that's part of the reason why we did it, is that you're not going to find Hope County anywhere on a real map, and you're not going to find the Project Eden's Gate. That's our cult and the leadership of the cult and our characters. So we wanted to be reverent to the fact that this is a work of fiction. It's entertainment. And we wanted to be able to build it and own it and make sure that people understood when they were playing it that it's a game and that it's got to be fun. But it also can be, your heart in your throat. It can have earnest moments. It can have fun moments. Those things can be super close to each other. And you can kind of snack on it the way you want to snack on it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And congrats on the game, man.
Thanks,
guys. Can't wait for the release.
Awesome. Cheers. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, man.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete, we're here still in Hope County, Pete. How's been your experience so far, man?
It's cold. It's cold. It's been, but aside from that, it's just been a phenomenal experience. It's one thing that me and my wife we've always like tried to push on to the kids that we want to give them experiences over physical things. And I think this is one of those things. And shout out to Ubisoft for bringing us out here.
We have a special guest, right, for this episode of GTR.
Oh, yeah. Very, very special. We have the one and only Greg Burke.
Well, hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing,
Welcome
man?
To Eden's Gate.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. He got into character a couple of times today. I got converted, man. That's it. I think I'm joining Eden's Gate, man.
You know what? I will clothe you. I will feed you. I will give you purpose. You just have to have faith in me.
How's it been like experience, man, doing this?
It's been one of the most enjoyable creative adventures of my life. And I was super resistant to be part of a video game. I wasn't knowledgeable about the world at all. And when I was approached about auditioning for maybe being a part of the game, I said no. And then they sent me some breakdown for some characters, and I kind of was flipping through them, and nothing interested me. And then I saw this breakdown for this father, this Joseph Seed character, this charismatic cult leader. I thought, that sounds interesting. And then they sent me a monologue, and it was this beautifully harrowing origin story, for lack of a better word. And I felt a great kinship with Joseph. And, you know, they talk about Joseph in this monologue. And as part of the game, he talks about being 23 and being pregnant with her first child. And I got my wife pregnant when I was in theater school. Mm-hmm. And I can just remember the terror of responsibility and feeling that I don't measure up as a man. How am I going to protect and be a father to someone? And this, you know, monologue goes through, I lose my wife in a car accident and I'm left with this baby, and I'm forced to make a horrifying choice, and I do. And in that moment, I also, God has tested me and chosen me. And it was, it's funny, everyone keeps talking about the villain. And I know that Far Cry is known for these iconic villains, but I just don't see the father in that light. I see him as someone who's been denied love as a child. You know, his story comes from an orphanage system and was, you know, torn away from his brothers and a very difficult life, a lot of abuse, and he constructs his family, and it's everything to him, and there's a great paternal protectiveness about him. And also, I feel that I have a truth that's been given to me that I have to share. That there's been a mission bequeathed to me that I have to fulfill, and however I fulfill that, in the end, people will thank me for it. And the parallel would be, you know, I mean, you can have a child, and as a parent of a child, they are going to want to make decisions in their life that aren't the best decisions, and as an adult, you know you can't do that, so you correct them. And you know, that there's a punishment system in place. Like, this obviously is taken to another level, but the consequences, mm-hmm. if I'm right, are literally salvation or damnation. If Joseph is right, he's not a villain, he's a prophet. So you really have to play the game and make a decision for yourself. It was interesting. It was fascinating. He was a beautifully written character. And they had so much latitude that we would create. Like, they would let me bring bits of my personal life into it to make it resonate with me. And right. then as a result, it comes across.
That's something I wanted to ask was, did you have any influences to draw upon towards the creation of Joseph Seed?
No. Well, my life. You know, I work very personally. I'm blessed with three beautiful children who mean everything to me, and a wife who is my treasure. And if I play with the loss of that, if I creatively own my worst fears and experience them in the service of a character, it's dangerous, because a real person's at risk. And we were able to find moments. And the flip side of that is, you know, you have this sort of this dark and deeply personal journey for myself as the father. But then there's also this amazing world, this thrilling world that we're surrounded by. So the player is going to, you know, they're going to have these exhilarating adventures. And then they're also going to have quiet moments when they're going to be forced or challenged to ask questions of themselves. Is this, am I alone? You know, am I happy? Is this the type of world I want to live in? What's important to me? What's my value structure? Am I putting more importance in how many likes, you know, I get on a Twitter post, and I'm ignoring the suffering of a person who's just as alone beside me with their phone in their hands? So I think that the blessings of the modern world are also the curse of the modern world, and Joseph challenges those towards what is really kind of this exciting, you know, end of times journey.
Yeah, like to me, when I see a villain, right, like Daredevil season one, Kingpin, right, also Black Panther, Killmonger, I feel bad for their characters, you know, like I actually believe it. And I feel the same way with you.
Thank you.
Because you honestly, like I for some reason, I got like connected with you for some reason, you know, certain things, you know, so that's pretty good, man. That's a pretty good skill, man, to have, man, to influence others, you know, like to actually believe your message, what you're saying in the game.
Well, yeah, thanks. And it's not, see, the thing is that it's such, it's a very simple message. It's what is like, the part of the human condition is a sense of alienation. And, you know, I think that one of the beautiful things about the gaming community or the genre community is that a lot of times it's drawn from people that have been maybe pushed to the margins of, like, you know, your social group, and they find a great identification with characters and with each other. But we're lonely, mm-hmm. and we're afraid, and I'm lonely, and I'm afraid, and I can be jealous and vindictive and paranoid. And if I, the thing that I hold myself accountable to as an artist, as an actor, is beauty, not pretty. I don't ever want to give a pretty performance. I don't want to protect myself. I don't want to think, oh, what will someone like? I want to show my ugliness, because we all have that. And maybe in our day-to-day life, we wear a social mask and we try not to show that from people, but we know ourselves. And when you feel someone revealing that of themselves, part of you is like, oh, I know that. And it might not be comfortable, but I know that. And I can understand where they got to where they get to, because we could all get there. Right? We could all be in that position. We're a series of rolls of the dice away from being the worst monster you can possibly imagine. And history bears that out time and time again.
So what is something you'd like everyone to take away from Joseph C., the character, once they finish the campaign? I love that.
I think I want the player to truly know that he or she is loved. And that there is a place where they are accepted. And they have a choice to make with their lives. And you can confront me. You can make me your enemy. Or you can become my family. And family, the strongest thing about family is that we're forced to accept each other as we are. Because we're family. And, you know, for the thousands of years of human history, we lived in these little communities, little tribe and a little village, and everyone knew everyone else. And in order to survive, we had to accept each other. Like, we have to learn to live with each other. And now, you know, cities, you can become anonymous. And now you literally have the world in your hand and you can become completely anonymous. But as a result, we don't have to be as accountable. We don't have to be as authentic. And I want you, the player, to have to ask themselves, how authentic am I being as a person?
How excited are you that, you know, the game is coming out in a couple of weeks, and that's it, man. Now people are actually going to play this game.
Awesome.
Finally.
Awesome. I've been so excited about this because, you know, we shot it and it was kind of like in fits and starts over a long period of time. And then I was fortunate we shot a movie as well in Montana, which was a lot of fun and really was something I enjoyed. But I know what we've captured from a character point of view. And I also know how passionate and how talented that whole Ubisoft team is in creating, in the gameplay and creating the world and the open world. And it's really daring the way they've deconstructed, you know, the narrative, the idea of a narrative. And you have to live this game. It's a much more experiential version. They're not leading you down a story's path. It's like life. I mean, we're all going to hit certain tent posts or milestones. It's kind of a universal experience of a life. But within that, there's so many details. What the choices you make become your story. So it's not an easy game, I think, to judge or review as a whole, because each story is going to be so personal. Like, your living through the game is going to be very different than your living through the game. And I think it's brilliant because it doesn't manipulate, but it challenges you to become an author. It challenges, this is it. You are the collection of your choices in this game and in this life. So, and it's exciting. There's tons of cool shit to do.
Awesome,
like,
man.
I don't do cool shit, but there's cool shit to be done.
Yeah. No, I just want to say thanks, man. It's been a great time interviewing you, man.
Thank you. I'm really happy you guys came out and supporting the game, and cool. Your listeners and followers and friends and family and blood relatives will all enjoy it.
Yeah, but thanks a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So that was the interviews recorded during the event. Pete, that was a great, great vibe, right, from both, from Dan, Rick, and also now Greg. That was awesome interviews, I think.
Yep.
And that's it. Okay. So we're going to wrap it up. And yeah, we'll be back next week for sure. Paris is going to be joining us and everything too. So for more information, head over to gamertagradio.com. If you want to listen to our podcast episodes and everything. And also you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And anything else, Pete? I think we're going to wrap it up. But make sure to go to twitch.tv/GamerTagRadio to check out our gameplay footage of Far Cry 5. Pete?
No, just once again, shout out to the folks at Ubisoft for giving us an opportunity to be a part of the overall story of and being able to see Far Cry 5 from its infancy and seeing the various iterations as they've been released, whether it was at E3 or seeing it at PAX and at, you know, various press junkets and events. It's been great to be a part of that whole thing. And again, it's been a joy to work with the voice, with Martin Roach for that first episode of Hope County Stories. And looking forward to see what the reaction is from the community moving forward.
Yeah, it'll be good. Every Wednesdays. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to be out. And thanks for everybody listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.